recording, bitch.
Bitch. welcome to Ghost to Show You.
Hey, welcome. Welcome, everybody.
Hey. Hello. Hey, welcome to Ghost to Show You. Hi.
Oh, man, it's been a little while.
It's been a bit since the girls, since ya girls have been together talking ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we're back and better than ever.
Way better.
Yeah. Better than you could possibly imagine.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you think.
Throw it out the window.
Throw it out the fucking window, okay?
Oh, man. Emily, how are you?
Lillian, I'm doing fine. It's sort of an overcast day. I'm here at the beach. I've got a dog by my side, sitting on the bed. Got a coffee.
Sounds cozy.
It's actually pretty cozy. I'm having a pretty cozy day today. Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
I'm a little bit hungover. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, goes to show you culture. So
yeah, it is. It's canon.
It's canon. But otherwise, I feel fine. I have a giant ice water with ginger and mint. So I'm feeling refreshed and ready.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. And it is a little gray here in the city, in New York City. So a proper mood.
Yes, it is a proper ghost mood. My dog is also, like, dreaming. And when she dreams, she, like, twitches, which is kind of scary. Also a proper ghost mood.
Yeah. She's sensing a lot.
She's definitely sensing a lot.
She's got the gift.
Yeah, but she freaks me out on a regular basis because she'll just, like, randomly, like, her ears will perk up and she'll, like, bark at something, or she'll, like, run to the door and there's nothing there and you're like, what does she see?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Animals are freaky.
They really are freaky. They're somewhat erratic and freaky, and you're like, what is it that you're reacting to? Why are you barking at nothing? Why is it always at the same time every day?
Oh, God.
Just kidding.
Like, not real. Well, I'm jealous always of you and your dog, but I'll get over it one day. Well, today's episode, this week's episode, whatever, we want to do a little, ripped from the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Slash just kind of general ghost info and news and check in with y'all. So, yeah, we're going to talk shop.
Yeah.
You know?
Just a couple ghosty gals talking shop today.
You know, you go into the ghost shop and there we are.
Hammering away.
We're hammering away. We got the saws ripping and we're under a car for some reason.
Yep, yep. Lillian wheels out. She's covered in grease. Ghost grease, folks.
Absolutely ectoplasm. Dripping in ectoplasm. We've got like hot ghost calendar on the wall. You know, the whole thing.
check out March.
Yeah,
that one.
It's a real, you're gonna love what you see. or don't see. Anyways, I think, well, an article came out in, I think, May in the New York Times.
Yeah.
Specifically about ghosts in quarantine and in time of COVID, which was very interesting, I thought. And also didn't feel particularly like New York Times, you know, what they normally publish, which is garbage.
failing New York Times. Listen, they're failing for a reason, folks, and it's because... There's not enough ghost news articles.
If you churned out more shit like this, you know,
I would pay for a subscription.
I do pay for a subscription, even though I actively hate the New York Times. It's, you know, it's my world. The article is quarantine with a ghost. It's scary. Okay. Also could have written a better headline, but you know what?
That's fine. Moving on.
It's fine. It's by Molly Fitzpatrick. But I thought this raised a lot of interesting points and questions personally.
Yeah, I wrote down a couple notes. Where would you like to begin with this article?
Well, I think basically what were they were saying was that people are reporting a lot more sightings or experiences that they believe to be spirits or ghosts or presence or whatever. And kind of the article is basically breaking down what that may or may not mean.
Right. They're talking about because everybody's at home more. So now people are reporting. They're like, oh, shit, like my house is actually haunted and I never noticed before because I work at, you know, the graveyard shift in the mines. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Because they, you know, because they work so much because of capitalism. Mm-hmm. Okay. Capitalism is stifling the ghosts all around us.
It's true.
That's another podcast for another day.
That's another thing I'm launching. So look out for that. Yeah. And I think, so it's, you can go about it two ways. I feel like where it's like, we haven't been home and we haven't been noticing that we're haunted, or we haven't been home and we don't notice, or we're hyper aware of our surroundings, which means I now notice that my house is creaking at a certain time when I wouldn't have noticed because I wouldn't be home, or I'm just like in my fucking house all the time now.
Yes. And I thought it was funny that in the article they talked to a couple of different, or you know, I think maybe they talked to one main paranormal researcher, but then I read another article in the LA Times, I think, that basically said the same thing. That there's been an increase in people reporting paranormal activity, and they spoke to a different paranormal researcher, and both of them said the same thing, which is that probably the majority of these are not real cases. Mm-hmm. It's just that people are like, I never noticed my house creaked before, or like the wood is expanding because it's moist out or something.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, there was also an interesting kind of anecdote about how this person, who I guess has been in the ghost biz for quite some time, because he was saying around Y2K, and not sure why Y2K was the other cultural like milestone for this person, but whatever. I also remember Y2K, but
me too.
Even though I was an infant, because people are very obviously very anxious, and they're like very freaked out, and this is a lot going on, a big collective trauma, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, which also explains like when, like during World War One, when ghosts became like the spiritualism movement, I think it's like it is attached to these like big, this chaos,
like
and
anxiety
trauma.
and mm-hmm. fear of death.
Yeah. It totally makes sense. Y2K though doesn't really make sense, but I guess
I wrote that down too. I was like, why Y2K? Like,
maybe because it was this like out of our control, like it felt like a large impending doom or something, and that kind of brings about this. I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
I mean, of course now during a pandemic or during a wartime you have this heightened fear of death and certainly loss of control or loss of a sense of control. But why would that correlate to an increase in paranormal activity?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll,
like, I'm psychologically gonna... speaking, what right. would account for that? I don't know.
Maybe it is just, like, the wanting there to be more... I mean, in the case of quarantine, wanting there to be more physical space, wanting there to be more another world, like, wanting there to be that extra dimension to life that you feel that you're missing. I don't know, an escape.
Do you think it might also be that people want there to be some sort of life after death or something, and if they feel there is impending doom, that I don't know why you would be comforted to be like, maybe I'll come back as a ghost?
I think, yeah, like loved ones, or like if there's a lot of death and people are right. like, well, at least there's this that I'll be, you know, I can be in touch with them and they're not really gone. And I mean, I right. feel like that's why, you know, so many people become fucking born again or religious at the end of their life. You know, it's like same deal, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. They also spoke about in this article that some people were scared, by, you know, experiencing this paranormal activity, but some people were comforted by it because there's this increased feeling of isolation, of course, mm-hmm. when you're in quarantine. And so people were comforted by the fact that they might not be alone in their right. homes when they are alone. You right. know? And I thought that was really interesting. Like, Okay, so one thing that stood out to me, because in the article they talked to a bunch of different people about what they've been experiencing, and this one guy, who is a rapper and teacher, talked about how he had this experience where he was sleeping in his bed, and him and his wife often, like, fight over the cover, because it's not quite big enough to cover
them.
And, yep, and so he was in the room, and he felt like somebody was rearranging the cover on his feet or something, and so he spoke to what he thought was his wife, and then it turned out nobody was in there, and he said, and I quote, it was like it had been trying to make the couple feel more comfortable or to mediate a potential conflict between them before it happened. And that is so funny to me, or interesting, psychologically speaking, like that you would think that if there's a spirit in the house, that the spirit is trying to mediate a possible argument over the cover and is anticipating this argument, being like, no, no, you know what? I'll take care of it this time. Let me just put the cover on your feet.
I mean, if I had a ghost, I would love a ghost to do that in my home to fucking predate any argument I may be about to have. If someone could sort of anticipate, that would be convenient.
That would be really convenient. If the ghost could just be around to, like, clean up after my husband or something before I, you know, told him to do it and a fight ensued.
See? Yeah, we could all use a little ghostly help. But yeah, that is very funny. It is like, as we've said before, and as other people obviously have said, but talking about ghosts is so revealing for what's, like, for people's psyches and people's lives. It's like, it's fascinating. I mean,
yeah. It's a mirror.
Yeah. But yeah, but I liked that article a lot. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I did too. And I started also researching this guy that they spoke to, John E. L. Tenney. And first of all, he's kind of hot. I'm just going to say that now.
Okay. I'll get it out of the way.
I'm just going to put that out there. So I Googled him after I read the article, and I saw a couple of other videos that he was in, because he had a show called Ghost Stalkers. But he also was on, like, Fox News saying that the devil is real and that he had a near-death experience where it was scary and bad. And I was like, okay.
I love that Fox News is like, let's give this guy some time.
Yeah. I think it was, like, a local Fox affiliate. Oh, okay. It wasn't, like,
he wasn't
being interviewed by Megyn Kelly. who, it turns out, is a ghost.
This whole time.
She's been one this whole time. What was I going to say? Oh, I thought you would like this. He spoke on this other program. I'll find it for you later. But he was on some internet show, I think. And he said that his mentor was a Kennedy assassinologist. That's how he got his...
Man, I love this world so much. All these freak daddies know each other and talk about the craziest shit all day. Yes. It's so fucking sick.
Yes. So
God bless.
That was an aside. So he was on this program because his knowledge is not limited to ghost. It is, you know, UFO.
It never is.
But yeah, so he started out, and his mentor was a Kennedy assassinologist, and he would go around, and I think the door from Kennedy assassinologist to paranormal was that they were like, do you think the CIA killed JFK because of his knowledge of UFOs or something?
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense.
Which makes a lot of sense if
that
you think about it.
That bridge, that bridge is, very clear to
me. It's solid. It's on solid ground.
No troubled water under that. That is so funny. I think the more you and I delve into ghost culture, it's like, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
It really is.
I was listening to Coast to Coast, which I'm sure most of you listening to this podcast know. Emily, you know. It's a AM radio show from like 1 to 5 AM. It's been going since like the 70s or 80s. It's quite the treasure trove. Pretty much anything you want to know. I was looking through the best of, because they have like best of. You can listen to like the old Art Bell episodes. But they have stuff from like, it's like military industrial complex. And then they'll have one like the members of Herman's Hermits. And then they'll have like... you know, haunted ambulance driver. Like, it covers lots of UFO, tons of alien stuff, paranormal, then just, like, general, like, fucked up people who are like, is COVID real? Like, it's, there's a lot of bad right-wing libertarian freaks, which you, this is the world. That's the culture, unfortunately. We're doing David our best Icke. To change it. We're doing our best to change it. But I was listening to this interview with from George Norrie, who is the current, he's so bad and I love it so much. Like, he's so fucking old school shitty dude. Anyways.
Wait, so who is he?
George Norrie is just like he's like the new Art Bell, kind of.
Okay.
After Art Bell died. So he was interviewing Steve Gonsalves, who is... he does that show. He's on that show, Ghost Nation, which is like a hilarious title, but it's like the new like Ghost Hunter show, basically.
I mean, there's a million of those shows, and I can't tell the difference. It's just it's between like 2 and 7 white men, and like one of them has tattoos.
In this case, most of them have tattoos. It's so deeply Rhode Island. It is like a Rhode Island based, but it's quite the aesthetic. But he was talking to him, and Steve, who is obviously an ex-cop, the ex-cop to Paranormal Investigator Pipeline, real. It's just a straight shot. It is so interesting. The world of ghost hunters is just weird. I'm like, you're going to be like a ghost cop? Like, you're literally, like, you are a ghost cop. And that mentality is
Siri,
so...
take this down. Ghost cops. Show idea.
But seriously, it's like you're just coming in hard and fast and being a fucking asshole to the ghost. I'm just like, chill, dude. Anyways.
Well, again, sorry, very briefly to touch back on what you said before about what this reveals about people's psyches. It's like, imagine being a cop and seeing all of the things you've seen and then maybe trying to make some sense out of that. And it's like the next logical step. They take your badge and then it's like, oh, where can I use these skills? Ghost hunting.
But it's also, like, there's no skill in being a cop, and, like, most ghost hunters are fake, so it makes sense, like, the dumbest people alive are cops, and then they just, like,
okay, so what this means is that I should be a cop.
No.
What you're saying to me, I'm just kidding.
No. Please. But anyways, so the mentality of these guys, you can quite imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
A white cop from Rhode Island.
Yes.
But he was talking in the interview, and what I thought was so funny, and I think about it all the time, was he was talking about just, like, his experience and, like, how he became a ghost hunter, et cetera. And he was like, you know, George, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, I would say 5, 10, 15 years ago, like, you couldn't talk about being a ghost hunter. That wasn't something people were okay with. You know, I saw somebody in the supermarket, they say, what do you do? I tell them I'm a ghost hunter. You know, they look at me funny, you know, and they don't want to talk to me. And now it's so much more widely accepted. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's not like, it's just so funny to be like, I'm like a persecuted part
they're
of
oppressed.
Society, like they're an oppressed part of society as a ghost hunter. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? It was so funny to me just imagining. I mean, again, a cop cops have persecution complexes. It's immediately the same fucking thing with a ghost hunter. I'm like, you're the bad guy here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyways, I think a woman's touch in ghost investigation, you know, is needed.
Is needed. I'm also just imagining a former cop basically standing around and being like, asking me about my ghost hunting. And then people are like, sir, please leave the supermarket.
No, I
want to
talk about it.
You're not even shopping. You're not even buying anything here, sir. And he's like, I'm persecuted. Nobody wants to hear about this shit.
Okay,
all of your minds are closed. All right, don't come crying to me when you got fucking Casper spooking up your house.
They've got like the thin white line flag, you know, for ghost hunters.
Oh my god.
Anyways, these guys are absolute freak daddies. But then I was listening, and just really quickly, on the other side of that, which I thought was interesting, there's this guy, Stephen Williams, who is with a group based out of Memphis, and it was called, like, the Memphis Ghost and Spirit Rescue Team, which I was like, what the fuck is this? But basically, they take an approach where they're like, our goal is to like help the spirit. We don't go in guns blazing to be like, we need evidence. They're like, we don't like evidence-based ghost, like, they're like, we're trying to free a spirit and help them move on, and like, we think it's shitty when people barge into people's homes, take a bunch of pictures and leave, and they're not helping the situation or like trying to like, you know, mitigate this. I was like, that's so interesting and like sweet, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it is interesting to kind of see the differing takes and cultures around this insane world and how people are like arguing about tactics. And like, obviously, if you're getting paid and you're doing a show, you're getting paid for
trying to show evidence. And
right. Yeah. And I mean, I think, not to put us like in any of these categories, but I mean, like, we're just like, what up? And we're not, you know,
we're not too pushy about it.
Not too pushy.
We're very gentle about it.
Anyways, but yeah, God bless all of our brothers and sisters.
In arms.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a pun, and I didn't.
Yeah. What else should we talk about?
Well, so I was searching for just, like, ghost news, and I came up with this guy, Zach Bagans, mm-hmm. who is a famous ghost investigator, I guess. He has that show, Ghost Adventures.
Okay.
And he looks straight out of the 90s.
Classic.
I don't know. Yep. Look, yeah. I don't know. So I guess he's this famous dude. And so he came up because he has a Dybbuk box. You know what a Dybbuk box is?
Mm-mm.
So a Dybbuk it's like a Jewish spirit, like malevolent spirit.
Mm.
And so there supposedly are 10 Dybbuk boxes in the world. And they are literally like these wooden boxes that house a spirit. And it's like, you will be cursed if you open it or even if you touch it, supposedly. And so this guy made headlines because he also has this paranormal museum in Las Vegas, and he has a show. And so Post Malone went on his show and touching the Dybbuk box. So this guy, Zach, has on display this Dybbuk box, and he's also spoken about how since he acquired it, people at the museum have experienced things. He's experienced a string of bad luck, and people have seen like black figures walking around, and this box is closed. He's never opened it, and it's in glass. It's in a glass case. But Zach touched the box, and then Post Malone touched Zach. And then supposedly Post Malone was cursed. And so here, let me pull up the article that talks about all the things that happened to Post Malone after Jesus. He touched Zach touching the spirit box. Oh, okay. So really quick, I'll just say I copied this from an article that since Zach acquired the box, shortly after its arrival, mysterious protruding holes began to appear in the walls around the artifact as if something was trying to break out from within the exhibit. And since it's been on display, Bagans, the museum staff and visitors have experienced black shadows, fainting, feelings of sickness, anger, anxiety, and more. Now, Post Malone...
when did this happen?
The Post Malone thing happened in 2018.
Okay.
But this guy, Zach, like this month, opened the Dybbuk box. And I don't think that the episode has aired yet with him opening it. I did watch a video of him kind of like pacing around wearing a mask outside of the box.
LOL. Okay.
LOL indeed. just like... I don't know, talking about what a big deal it is that he was going to open the box and like what it means, and he was scared.
Stretching it out content. Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. So I'm trying to find just the list of things that happened to Post Malone. So first, he was involved in a plane emergency when two tires of his private jet blew out on the runway.
Hate when that happens.
Yep. And then a few days later, his house was broken into by gun-toting invaders. But I think it was his former house. He wasn't still living there. Hmm. And then a week after that, he was involved in a car crash when his Rolls Royce collided with another car.
Damn, the luck.
Yeah. And I guess that's it. And Post Malone tweeted something like, God hates me, but people on Twitter were like, you touched the Dybbuk box and you're cursed now.
I mean, it sounds like he's living a cursed life already, so.
Yeah, those tattoos, that's an eternal curse.
Rolls Royce private jet, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it's pretty bad. Things have gotten really bad for him.
It's fucked up the way he has to live. It's not
right. It is. It ain't right.
It's sad. Yeah.
So I don't know if this is the same Dybbuk box, but there was a news story years ago about this Dybbuk box on eBay. I have the archived post. Sorry that I'm like disorganized about finding.
Do you think it's harmful to the Jewish community? All of this sort of, you know,
all this Dybbuk talk?
In your opinion? Yeah.
In my opinion, I do not feel that it's harmful to the Jewish community. I think it's an asset, and I think that we as the Jewish people should collect these Dybbuk boxes and figure out how to weaponize them against our enemies.
So, wow. That's maybe a little, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Charged, yeah, okay.
So there was a guy that years ago put a Dybbuk box up on eBay and it went viral because he bought this old wooden wine box from a Holocaust survivor.
Shit.
And it had some weird stuff in it. It had a couple of pennies, candlestick holders, and a granite statue inscribed with the word shalom, classic Jewish word.
Absolute classic.
An absolute classic. Okay, and so then he purchased the box from a granddaughter of the original owner, who is a Holocaust survivor, at an estate sale. Mm-hmm. And after purchasing the box and relocating it to his shop, the horrors began. I'm quoting from a bloody, disgusting article. An employee claimed to hear light bulbs breaking and otherworldly screaming coming from the basement where the box was stored. And Manis would later recall, the man who bought the box, the foul stench of cat urine permeating the area.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Despite him not owning any felines, that's key. Then his mother suffered a tragic stroke.
Okay.
But I think so this went viral because then this dude put it up on eBay and he was like, this is a Dybbuk box and these are all the terrible things that have happened to me. But if you're into that, if you're into like this paranormal shit, then you might want this, or if you're responsible. But he was like, I bought this box and I have to get it away from me. It's like plaguing my life.
Jesus.
And I don't know if that's the one that Zach Bagans has, because apparently Zach has two Dybbuk boxes in his possession.
What the fuck is this guy's deal? That's crazy to me. Why would you want that? I mean, I guess that's what the fucking, the Warrens did or whatever.
Mm-hmm, right. They collected artifacts because they were like, we're paranormal people and we know how to handle these things.
Which they were complete fucking frauds, but we love them anyway. We don't actually love them because I think the dude was really fucked up. Anyways.
Oh, maybe we don't love them. I just was going along with whatever you said, so.
I mean, I do love the idea of them. In practice, maybe no, but, you know, aesthetically, I love them.
Yeah. So, anyway, you should do some more reading on the Dybbuk box. It's really interesting. I remember reading that original post, but it actually reminded me of a time that I potentially came into possession of a cursed object. Have I told you about this, about the purse?
Yes.
The curse purse? Mm-hmm. So for listeners, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast before, but years ago, I went to the Dominican Republic. I was there with my husband, who is in a touring musical group, and they were playing at this festival. But I went out on the streets one day, and I bought this purse. It was like a leather purse, and it had a raised human face looking thing on it. I mean, it wasn't totally human, and I do have a picture of it that I'll post on the Instagram. And it smelled, you know, like if you buy leather that's mm-hmm. like fresh leather, I guess, it kind of smells like a dead animal. So I bought this purse and it has a face on it and it's fucking creepy. And Killer Mike's wife, so we were there with Killer Mike and his wife, and she was like, "Em, this thing is cursed. You need to get rid of this." And I was like, "Ha ha ha, no it's not." And I would like put it in her face and she was like, "Seriously, get that out of my face. It's cursed." And then shortly after I bought that purse, I left them. They went on to play a big festival and I went back home, but we went to New Orleans. Anyway, okay, so here's what happened after I got the purse. A series of bad events. I got a phone call that I was kicked out of a band I was playing in at the time. When we were in the middle of preparing to go on tour.
That sucks.
And they fired all the band members, which was devastating to me at the time. And then Jamie and Mike went to play this festival, got attacked on stage. A man attacked them on stage. Like, there's a video of it.
Fuck.
He jumps on the stage and chased them and like, tackled Jamie. So that happened, which is now why in Nashville, if we ever go there, we hire bodyguards.
Yeah.
Or, like, a security guard. I feel like there was one other thing. Oh, it was Austin. Sorry, not Nashville. I feel like there was one other thing that happened, but I can't remember. And I literally called my dad because when this stuff happened, Mike's wife, Shay, was like, Emily, I told you that purse was cursed. You have to get rid of it. And I called my dad, who's a doctor, thinking he would be rational about it. And I was like, so they think that I should get rid of this purse, but, like, it's a purse. It's an object. And he was like, well, sounds like you should probably get rid of it.
Damn. Okay.
So I did. But you know what I did?
What?
I brought it to Beacons. And they took
Shit,
it. So someone else has the purse.
Someone, hey, if you're out there listening, sound off in the comments if your life has been ruined by Emily putting a cursed purse back into the universe.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the story. Well, and that's my cursed object story. Not exactly a Dybbuk box, but yeah. So this
close.
Guy, I think he did open the box. I don't know exactly what happened, but we'll keep you informed on that story.
Hounds of Hell will be an indicator if, you know, it was opened and shit was inside.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I think we're done, right?
Yeah.
I think we've said our piece.
I feel that we've said our piece.
And yes, we are slowly working through an old episode where we visited a haunted place. I know it's taking forever, but we can't see each other and work on it, and it's hard.
I mean, it's my fault that it's taken this long, primarily. I'll take the blame. But we're back working on it, and it's great.
No,
you're going to love it when you hear it. Again, culture of guilt.
It's a fun one.
Dybbuk's guilt, Judaism.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep. A rich culture.
Vodkas.
Yeah.
A rich cultural tapestry.
Please review, rate, and subscribe, and tell your friends about this frankly incredible podcast,
this amazing podcast that we do.
Yeah. We love you guys, and I don't know, what's our sign off? Stay spooky. No. Whatever, we'll figure out our catchphrase, you know.
Our sign off, weaponized Dybbuk boxes for the greater good of the Jewish people, but also free Palestine. Free Palestine.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, I don't know if we should be saying weaponize, you know. Yes, free Palestine, but also if you have a Dybbuk box, use it for the appropriate takedown.
Okay, so maybe I'm rethinking my stance on weaponizing the Dybbuk boxes, actually. Maybe just give them maybe let's just destroy them.
I think that's a good idea.
I take back what I said about weaponizing the Dybbuk boxes. And that's the sign off.
You're going to be, someone's going to say
growth.
this you on Twitter talking about weaponizing Jewish power. I can't wait.
This you? So.
All right. Well, with that.
Those are the ghosts we have to show you this week. And we'll see you later. Yeah.
Ghost to Show You is created by Lillian Devane and me, Emily Panic. Editing and production is by me. Our original artwork is by Paco Park, and our theme song is by LP. If you have a true ghost story that you'd like to share, you can email us at ghosts2showyou@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at ghosttoshowyou. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your mom about it. She might like it. Thanks for listening. See you next time.